Morning. It's good to be with you all today. It's good to worship with you, and it's good to share with you. I remember the first time that sharing hit me really hard. It was my 7th birthday. For me, the first few birthdays, we would sometimes have cake. But the main attraction of our birthdays was getting to choose our own birthday dinner. Mac and cheese and hot dogs. And it was served to us on our Disney Hercules plates. Those were cool. Those were really cool. But this year was different. We weren't just having cake. We were having cake. This was a half chocolate, half vanilla masterpiece of culinary art. Before this time, I had no idea that you could actually take a picture and then print it on a cake. And there I was for my 7th birthday. I had a cake that had me in a John Elway number 7 jersey. This thing was awesome. And before, if we were having maybe some cupcakes or even a slice of pie, you didn't have to share. Everybody got their own thing. This year, the reality of that cake knife coming down on my cake, forcing me to share a piece of myself, really. It hit hard. It was personal. But we do that sometimes, don't we? We find something really, really good, something that we really like. I don't know what it is for you. Maybe a favorite brand of pop. Maybe it's ribs on the first Friday of every month at the general store. But we have those things that we enjoy, we love, and when we have those things, man, we cherish it. It's ours. We dig in, we love it, but we also hoard it. We don't want anyone else to even get a small piece of it. As Smeagol would say in The Lord of the Rings, it's mine, my own, my precious. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is getting rolling in one of the greatest sermons there's ever been. And he has something to say in his sermon about sharing. Would you go ahead and read this with me? Let us read this together. Just a couple verses here. It says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people put light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Would you pray with me when we get going here? Lord, we love you. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for the way that you move in the world around us. God, thank you for encouraging us and pressing us to share with others. Lord, one of the most precious things we can. God, help us to be courageous and help us to go out into this world and be the light that you have called us to be. Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, They put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify Father in heaven. If we are the light, what are we illuminating? Our light is our deeds, you see. We show glimpses of our Father in heaven. Our light is the good things that we do, so that others will see the glory of God. We shine so that others can see not what we do, but God's glory. The deeds we do are not out of obligation, because we must follow God. The deeds that we do are deeds acted out by love. Love out of the gratitude of the gift given, of forgiveness found in Jesus Christ. It shows the glory of God because we see in the world around us that this is different. It's different for people who are acting with the love of God, people who are acting selflessly, people who are giving generously. It has to be the power of God at work in someone to serve. We shine so that there can be light for others. A candle doesn't burn so that the candle can have light. You are the light. The light isn't your own, and it isn't for your own purpose. Our light is for others. Jesus said to let your light shine before others, to share your light so that others can see. Now, what is it that Jesus is saying that we are to share? What is it that we are meant to shine out? Looking at the context of these verses, they fall right after Jesus says, blessed are the ones who are poor. Blessed are the ones who mourn. Blessed are the ones who are meek. Blessed are the ones who are searching for righteousness. Blessed are the ones that show mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the ones who promote peace, who are persecuted. And blessed are the ones who are insulted. Sounds like quite a light to share. These verses come right before Jesus says that he has come to fulfill the law. So what do these have to do with the message that we are supposed to shine out? What do these have to do with the light that we have? The message we share is that for those who are poor, there is the riches of the kingdom of heaven on the other side. For those who mourn, there is comfort. For those who are meek, there is an inheritance. For those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they can have their fill. For those who show mercy, they will be shown mercy back. For those who are pure in heart, they will see God. For those who are peacemakers, they have a heavenly Father who calls them his child. For those who are persecuted, theirs too is the kingdom of heaven. For those who are insulted, their reward is coming. And here's the kicker. It's all true. It's all happening not because of who we are, but what we have done. Our good deeds that we shine are not for ourselves. Our good deeds that we shine are not so people can look at us and say, man, that person's got it all together. The deeds that we shine with illuminate the glory of God. They point to the way that he is at work in the world. They're based on this truth, but is because that Jesus has come to fulfill every letter of the law that has been passed down. Jesus came to fill every expectation and to fulfill every prophecy. And through the next few chapters of his Sermon on the Mount, he says, I've come to reach down to the place where you could never come up to. It's the news that Jesus established a kingdom that was an upside-down kingdom where his victories would sometimes feel like defeats, where his blessings would sometimes come like raindrops. But through every moment of mourning, through every insult and persecution, our only foundation is to trust in Jesus Christ and to live out a life that brings glory to our King. He is the one way, the one truth, and the one life. He brings new life to all that come to Him. And that new life is for all. So we are called to share it. We're called to be the city on a hill that cannot be hidden, the lamp on the stand that gives light to everyone. The message is not one to store up or to be selfishly savored alone, but it's one to be given freely and to be shared with others. So how do we share? Jesus goes on in his teaching and says, practice a life that adheres to what God's word says. The question really becomes, who has the lead of your life? Because of Christ, we have been set free from the bondage of sin, set free from the restrictions of the law. Now, since the beginning of time, since the beginning of the early church, since the beginning of when Jesus came into this world, set us free from the bondage of sin, free from the bondage of the old law, there's been a twisting. There have been those that taken that freedom from the restrictions of the old law to mean that we are free from the restrictions of any law. In fact, it's what was happening all over the place and what was actually addressed time and time again. Paul addresses it in Romans chapter 6, starting with the 15th verse. He says, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? By no means. By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves as obedient slaves, you're slaves to the one you obey? Whether you're slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God, that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your hearts the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You've been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. We've been set free from sin, and we are now sharing God's good news of Jesus through our obedience. It's what Jesus teaches in the rest of the sermon here. Jesus shows that this is how we share the kingdom with others. And the ways you control your actions, and the ways that you control your emotions and your religious acts. He focused on areas like controlling how you express your anger. He shows it in the way that you control your eyes, in the way that you control your minds and your thoughts about people of the opposite gender, in your relationships with one another, staying true to your spouse through thick and thin, and allowing your yes to be yes and your no to be no through the ways you treat those who hurt you, And lastly, there comes a focus on the manner in which you go about serving God in worship and what it looks like in some of the religious acts that we are encouraged to participate in. The way that we serve is not how we get salvation, but the way that we serve is how we share with others. If it was based on how we act, we wouldn't be good enough. And I'm the first we there is to raise my hand. All this talk about our good deeds and our good actions aren't to say that that's how we live because we're trying to get the grace that God offers. We shine out the way that God has wired us and put us together. We shine out the way that God has directed us to act and to serve and to be selfless and to give generously because we've been given that forgiveness. We've been given that grace. We've been given that mercy. We've been given that new life. And so the life that we live now is not our own. It's our new life that God has given. And so we honor Him with the way that we act. And in the mission of the church, we need you to be engaged. We're each called to this. We're each called to this life of sharing, of being the light. We're all called to the Great Commission to go, to make disciples of all nations, to bring others to know who Jesus is. We are all called to share. Many times we can be nervous to share the gospel with others. But with a message that's literally called the good news, why wouldn't we share it? Each of us have a story. If you've been in church 1 month, 1 year, or one lifetime, there's a way that Jesus Christ has transformed your life. We each have our lives as a testimony to share with those we see day to day. When the words don't come, when you can't find the phrasing to invite, when you can't find your track about how to evangelize, share the good news of God with the life that you live. You are the light of the world. I want to be sure that you get that. So turn to someone near to you. We're gonna get some old church in here today. Turn to the person next to you. Come on, church. Poke them in the shoulder. Say, you are the light of the world. We need each and every person to be the light that they're called to be. Jesus teaches in Matthew 5 here. Teaches not just to the 12 that he called. It says in the first verse, now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountainside and sat down. His disciples came also to him and he began to teach them there. Jesus begins on his sermon. And Jesus doesn't get down to this section to say, my 12 disciples will be the light of the world. He didn't get down and say, those who are called to be preachers and teachers are the light of the world. The elders in the church will be the light of the world. The deacons and the deaconesses will be the light of the world. He looks to those there and said, "You are the light of the world." Like a city on a hill, you're not designed to be hidden. Like a light on a lamppost, you're not meant to be put under a shade. For some, you may not have a lot of verses memorized. You may not have the knowledge to answer all the questions that'll come. And that's okay. Take those times as learning points to say, "I don't know." But let's look at God's Word together. Show the Lord you serve with the life that you live. I love the illustration that Jesus uses in this passage of Scripture. When I was young, we had candelabras in the church. And if you don't know what candelabras are, they are like this, filled with candles. And they just light up all around them. But it was a rite of passage to be able to use the snuffer. You see, something happens when you light a lamp and you put it under a bowl. A flame burns, and it will continue to burn as long as it has all three required elements: carbon, hydrogen, and oxygen. When you place a bowl over a flame, you cut out the abundant supply of oxygen that's found when it's burning openly. There's only a small amount left under the bowl, and soon the flame, once burning bright, will fade, and eventually it will burn out. Part of the fuel of our faith comes with the sharing of God's Word. Don't let the flame of your faith be extinguished. Be active in the mission that we share. I challenge you today to find your one more. Find someone who needs to see the light of Christ in the light that you have to share. Pray for the opportunity. Be prepared to be the light of the world. Will you pray with me? Lord, help us to be the light of the world. Help us to be ready to shine our light to those around us so that others may see your glory. God, help us to serve selflessly. Help us to give generously. God, help us in this church to be one body, your bride. Help us to establish our one direction and following your lead. Help us to recognize you as our one God. And Lord, help us to reach one more. Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you. It's in your Son's holy and precious name that we pray. Amen.